I want to tell you about a Christian walk and a road to reality. 40 years I lived in the church. I was obviously born in a Christian country. I was born a Presbyterian. My granddad was moderator of the Presbyterian church. He christened me, and I know that in that christening, he, as the eldest son, he dedicated me to serve the Lord. He named me Peter. I went to Sunday school until I was 15 years old. I picked up a few certificates to prove that I passed a few tests. A Presbyterian I was. We used to have to go to church or to Sunday school every Sunday. But while my dad used to give us a lift there, he never used to go to church. Mom, sometimes. But I was a Presbyterian, and I was brought up in the Presbyterian ways. 40 years of the church. I had 40 years of the church. And I think it would be fair to say I ended up with a bit of a self-righteous spirit. I didn't think I had such, as insofar as religion and Christianity was concerned. But I was strongly opposed when I saw the start of the charismatic movement, the happy clappies, as I used to call them. And I remember I'd met Ines, my wife. She had been an Anglican. And she, in fact, told me that the Anglican was a higher church than ours. You know, I didn't know anything about that. I went to a couple of Anglican services, understood even less that was going on there. So obviously it is a higher church. The less you understand, the higher the church. Anyway, for 40 years, I was in that Christian wilderness, as it were. An absolute wilderness I really got to understand. You see, I knew about Jesus. I knew quite a lot about Jesus, but I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. And then my wife, Ines, she got born again. And when Jesus comes into a life, that life changes. She got truly born again. It made a huge impact on my life, watching the change in her. And I ended up being changed. One night in Sunday evening, I was sitting in front of a TV set watching, sort of reluctantly watching a TV program. Reinhard Bonnker was on that program. And in the process of the program and what was discussed, I came under conviction. My whole life came before me. I realized that I was a pig sitting in the gutter, sitting on all the muck and the mire, having the audacity from there pointing upwards and condemning Jesus Christ. I got a sinner revelation. I really understood my own wretchedness. Almost a revulsion to who I was. And I met Jesus that evening. I went down to the bottom end of the garden. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I would never be the same again. I'd found the pearl of great price, and I was very excited about it. I was going to change the world. I started going to church. I think I was a bit too excited for the people at church. The world seemed quite interested in what had happened to me, but the church, I certainly got up a few noses. I heard someone say that I needed to be locked up for 6 months. Someone else said that I'll mature one day, hopefully. I thank God I've never matured. I remember going through an orientation course reluctantly and arguing there with the elder who was leading it. But it was all part of a great excitement because I had truly met the Lord Jesus Christ. Down at the bottom end of the garden, I'd given my life to him totally and utterly. I'd given up my independent right to myself. And I know that when I came back into the house that Sunday evening, just about midnight, I came back never to be the same again. You know, there was a great excitement. I sort of now got excited about the gospel. I was going to change the world in a matter of 2 weeks. I thought I would be able to change the world. Obviously, I was sort of picked up the sort of thread I was using was that Jesus is Mr. Fix-It. And Jesus will fix everything up. He was like my magic genie. I felt that I could go in and go into the hospitals and clear out the hospitals of the sick and all that sort of thing. And my enthusiasm and thing had taken over completely. In many respects, I was running amok, spiritually speaking. There was very little or no supervision or correction involved, because in those early days of the charismatic movement, that was regarded a little bit as quenching the Holy Spirit. And the net result was we ended up with situations where there was no accountability for our enthusiasm and the things that in our enthusiasm we were saying, doctrinal claims that we were making that were wrong and in error. And it was just all about mountains tops galore. It was mountaintop this and mountaintop that. There were no rooms for the valleys. We just had to think positive. There was no room for negative confession. And it was just triumphalism at its worst. We were almost acting like little Jesus is running around the place, fixing up the world and taking him for granted. I really do believe that I'm perhaps exaggerating a little, but I do believe that I was in that sort of frame. It cheapened the gospel with God's grace and undermined the awesomeness of God. I'm overconfident that I knew and understood him, that he was my brother and my friend. And I'm sorry, it was presumption. It was arrogance. It was pride. It was a form of elitism, all fed by a double dose of the cheap grace message. And I must say that I can't listen to some of those old messages. And then I had a revelation in Perth one night. I really felt God speak to me. I'd been ministered a lot on that trip about the great awesomeness of God. And the ministry that came to me really was that, Peter, you're playing games. You're not playing games intentionally, but you've been caught up in yourself and your own ideas about what Christianity is and your own plans. It's time to meet the real Jesus. And it was from that moment on that I really started to meet the real Jesus, the awesome God, the jealous God, the consuming fire that is God. I learned about being childlike and more submitting to the Holy Spirit and truly giving up my independent right to myself. And, you know, childlike is not childish. Except you come as a child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And more, I realized that it was experiential. Paul Washer, I heard him the other day, he was virtually saying, you know, sorry guys, but it is experiential. It's not just about the word. It's experiential as well by the Holy Spirit. Because in him we live and we move and we have our being. Faith, in Hebrews 11, it tells us that we are sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Forsaking all, I take him. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure. Forsaking all, I take him. I take him. Forsaking all, I take him. That's what faith is. And you know, if you're not sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see, you don't have faith. You have a trust. You have a trust, and there's an outworking of faith. It's total and it's utter. It's total and it's utter. And you are in fact moving mountains. You're not moving Table Mountain to Malmesbury, but in the spiritual realm. And yeah, you start to come to understand that it's all about Jesus. And Jesus does the changing. And it's the Holy Spirit that does. You know, I thought of my Presbyterian days when sort of once a month they'd go to the main service. We would dress properly. You didn't laugh or chatter. There was a sort of respect and reverence when you entered the church. The elders marched in with the Bible. we stood and we read the when we read the gospel, we stood when we sang. The pastor was not a socializer. He wasn't there for small talk. You spoke to him about God. God was awesome. God was sovereign. And if God said it was so, there was no debate. Finish and cry. And, you know, that was just an inkling of it. Because it's so much more than that to really know Jesus. It's so much more than Christianity. It's so much more than a church service. It's so much more than a ministry. Jesus is life itself. I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. All he wants from every one of us is everything. You had to go through all of that to get to here. I got to understand that yes, I learned about the Bible, I read the Bible, and I'm not for one minute trying to undermine that. The Bible is not just a textbook. It's not an instruction manual. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is to be read by the heart as much as anything else. It needs to be read by the heart. It is very lifeblood. But you know, I had to go through all these things to get to here. I could never have learnt any of these things by reading a book. It's all about the experiential side of the real Jesus Christ, the real God the Father, the awesome, jealous God who is a consuming fire, and the need for us to be childlike in our faith. We need to give up our independent right to ourselves. All God wants from you and me is everything, and all that we can give Him is us.